Hey, I'm Sheena, former miserable corporate attorney turned full-time calligrapher and creative entrepreneur. I used to feel like I was living my life for other people, and now I am more true to myself than ever. And each week, I'm sharing a short but powerful lesson that I've learned on that journey. So if you're looking for a way to get more creativity and possibility into your life, you're so in the right place. Let's dive right in. Hello, welcome back to the Sheena Show, everybody. Today, I am going to talk about calligraphy as a hobby versus a business. And gonna kind of get into the technical, tax, legal stuff, because I hear so much of this from you all, this kind of confusion and some fear, which is totally understandable when it comes to all the kind of nuance and technicalities around starting to sell your calligraphy. And I think that some of this technical jargon, these regulations, you know, and all the levels of it, IRS, state, local, and this is, I'm just talking straight purely about the United States of America, y'all, because that's where my experience is. But all of that, I feel it can kind of hold people back from selling their calligraphy because they feel like there's so much required. So I'm going to do my best to break this down in a clear, easy to understand way. Y'all know if you've been following me that I do that pretty well. That's kind of one of my jams, is breaking down complicated things into a little bit easier to understand doable pieces. So here's how I'm going to break this down. I'm going to go through the pros of making, you know, calligraphy or your hobby, whatever your, you know, crafty, creative making hobby is. The pros of making that into an official business, licensed and all of it. I'm going to talk about the cons of making it into an official business. And then I'm going to give you sort of my take as a former lawyer on kind of a way to look at all these requirements and what's really behind them and what are the real risks. And then I'm going to finish it off with what I think is the easiest way to start selling your calligraphy, the two easiest ways. And I'm going to break that down for you. All right. So this is for anybody who is thinking about doing calligraphy, and maybe it's you've just come across the idea of like, oh, I wonder if I could sell some of my calligraphy, but you're not sure if you want to make it into a full-on business with all of the, you know, requirements and all. You just kind of have this question like, oh, I wonder what that would be like. And I am. We are currently doing signups for the Newbie to Pro Calligrapher Challenge. This is my second time running it, and I designed this challenge specifically to open up the possibility for anybody who's like, oh, I'm kind of curious about calligraphy, and maybe you could make money doing it. I'm really in this challenge. It's 5 days of free video lessons and me going live and prizes, and it's a lot of fun. People learn so much from it. But it's going from how do I get started with calligraphy to how do I open up the possibility of starting to make sales with my calligraphy? So if that sounds fascinating to you, sign up now. The challenge starts on Tuesday, May 30th, basically right after Memorial Day here in the US, crookedcalligraphy.com/challenge to sign up. And this conversation that I'm going to have today with you in the podcast ties perfectly into that. Because if you've kind of the possibility of, ooh, can I make money selling my calligraphy? If that has occurred to you, I'm going to kind of hopefully make it a little bit more clear that you can do that without necessarily having a full-on legit business. Okay? So let's get into it. That's my point number one. You can actually, you can make some money with your calligraphy or with any hobby. Baking, painting, embroidery, crochet. You can make some money without it being an official business, right? This is like just kind of bringing in some money here and there as a hobby. So hobby versus business.
I'm going to take the IRS, right, Internal Revenue Service kind of definition here. And basically, a hobby is something that you do for fun in your spare time with no intention of making a profit. You can make some money with your hobby. You can maybe cover your expenses, the expenses of the hobby itself, you know, your paper, your ink, your calligraphy supplies, maybe learning calligraphy, right? But the intention is what is key here when it comes to the IRS. And let me just pause right here for, wow, I'm getting further and further away from lawyer brain because I almost forgot to give you the disclaimer. I am not an IRS official. I am not a licensed CPA or accountant or tax preparer. I am not even a currently licensed and active attorney. I used to be, but I'm no longer. So please take all of this advice with that disclaimer in mind. This all comes from my own experience and understanding and kind of reading of the IRS website and kind of mostly my experience as a business owner. Okay. All right. Disclaimer over. So according to the IRS website, hobby is you do it for fun and the intention is the important thing. You're not intending to make a profit. You're maybe just wanting to cover your expenses. It's, you know, something you do in your spare time. There is no dollar threshold out there currently. There's no, like, if you make over $100, it's a business, nothing like that, because, you know, different hobbies have different levels of expense and potential profit. If you're restoring old vintage cars and that's your hobby and you happen to sell one and make $12,000, I don't know how much vintage cars cost. That's totally different, right? From having calligraphy as a hobby and, you know, selling a calligraphy piece here and there. So no dollar threshold. It really just comes down to intent. Let's get into the pros of really kind of taking your hobby, your craft, and making it into a business. Probably one of the biggest pros, even if you're not intending to make this full time, even if you're not intending to make a ton of money off of this, you really just kind of want to have it as a side business or a seasonal business. Probably one of the biggest pros of making it into an actual business is that you get to deduct the expenses that go into that business. Your usual, ordinary kind of, you know, things that would go under business expenses. Again, not a tax professional here, so I'm not going to break down exactly what that means. But, right, you get to deduct your business expenses. Expenses for your hobby are, to my understanding right now, you can't deduct those unless they're things that you would otherwise be able to deduct on your taxes. So, but hobby income, anything that you make from a hobby income, you are still technically required to report that to the IRS. And this is all from their website. So if you have to report your hobby income, but you can't deduct any of the expenses that go into it, you know, that's kind of one of the big major pros of making it into an official business. Let's get into, just real quick, a little bit more on what the IRS looks at to determine whether you're doing a hobby or a business. Because let's get into the IRS's shoes here for a second. The IRS, basically, they're wanting to make sure that you pay all the taxes you're supposed to pay, right? That's kind of like the major part of their job. So they don't want people to just declare things a business, declare any old hobby a business, and just deduct all their expenses without ever attempting to actually turn a profit. That would suck for the IRS, right? That would mean people are getting away with paying less taxes. You're deducting all your expenses and you're not trying to make a profit. So there are some factors that the IRS looks at to determine whether you are engaging in a hobby or in a business. So to really qualify as a business and, you know, deduct your expenses, the IRS is looking at your intent to make a profit. And these are just some of the things that they list on their website. Are you conducting your business in like a business-like manner? It's a real quote. So are you keeping accurate books and finances and records, right? Are you operating as a business should be operating? Do you put the time and effort in to really try and make it profitable? Or do you depend on the income that you're bringing in for your living? That would certainly make it more like a business, right? Do you have the knowledge needed to carry out a successful, profitable business? Are you kind of making changes to the way your business operates in order to increase profitability? Have you made profits in the past? How much? How frequently? Right? So these are all the, like, some of the things that the IRS looks at to determine whether you're really trying to run a business here, or if you're just doing a hobby and you're just trying to deduct expenses as if it were a business. So this is all, again, in the category pros of making it a real business is, number one, deducting expenses. Number two, a little mushier, but there's some legitimacy here, right, in making a business. You feel like, okay, I'm really doing this thing. There's some real kind of financial consequences, like in some instances, if you are a real business with a license and a seller's permit, you can get like wholesale prices on things from certain suppliers, or you maybe don't have to pay sales tax if you're buying things as a business with the intent to resell them, because then you will be collecting sales tax, right, when you sell them. Sometimes if you are even selling at a, like a craft fair, or applying to sell at like a flea market or something like that, a pop-up market, sometimes they will ask you to have a seller's permit. This depends on your state and kind of municipality, the local and state governments. But so this is all kind of falls under legitimacy, right? And then number three pro of making your hobby into kind of an official business is asset protection. And this really only applies if you are in a situation where you really want to shield your personal assets from any liability that your business might have. And when it comes to calligraphy businesses, you know, we'll go over this a little bit more at the end of the podcast, but really think about, what are the actual risks here? What liability am I exposing myself to running a calligraphy business? Spoiler alert, not many. But, you know, if you are in a situation where you do really want to shield your personal assets, then if you make it an official business and you create a business entity like an LLC, then you can have a separate kind of legal entity for your business that if you get sued or something happens, an accident, and for some reason you have to pay money, only your business assets are, you know, can be touched, and it shields your personal assets from liability. And again, big old disclaimer here that I am not a practicing attorney and that there's a lot of nuance here, but this is kind of the big overview, all right? Let's get into the cons of making your hobby into like a legitimate business. It's mostly just that there's so many more requirements, legal requirements. This will vary by the where you're located, state, county, city, sometimes town. But, you know, there's just more paperwork, right? You might have to get certain licenses and permits, and you have to kind of file your taxes a little bit differently. So maybe you have to pay a little bit extra to your tax preparer. There's a lot of kind of time that goes into figuring that out. And then money. Like, for example, in California, it costs, I think right now, something like $800 a year just to have an LLC format. California is like one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive state to do business in. So that's unusual, but, you know, just to kind of give you an idea. And then another con of making your hobby into a business, kind of legitimately, is psychological. There's something about, for some people, they enjoy just it, keeping it as a hobby, and there's kind of no requirements, and you know, they're not looking to deduct expenses. They want to keep it light. They don't want any of the official, you know, payment methods and all of that. They want it to feel really light and playful. And for some people, you know, putting a business structure into place maybe takes away from a little bit of that. Doesn't have to be the case, but could be true for some people. So those are the cons of making it a business, right? It's just kind of, there's more requirements, legal and tax-wise. here's where I want to get into thinking about all of this. And I know I've thrown out some, you know, terms. I'm trying to keep it simple and like an overview, but you know, there's kind of a lot of stuff that I've mentioned here, seller's permits and local governments and stuff like that. I kind of found working in as a lawyer that some of the most highly valued lawyers, the ones that businesses really kind of look to for advice, were the lawyers that could give you advice based on the what the law says, technically, the letter of the law, what the law intends, right, the intent behind the law, and then kind of using those to really assess the risks behind the law and its enforcement. So here's what that means when it comes to assessing this. I get so many questions from people, you know, really kind of afraid of the implications. Like, what if I start selling things and I don't have the right permits? Or what if I start, you know, trying to make this into a business and I don't report things correctly to the IRS? And it, for me, I had a lot of these fears myself, totally with you, maybe even more because of my legal background. Like, I knew enough to be scared, right? And a lot of people go into, like, you know, starting a hobby and making some money or even starting a business, and they don't have any of this knowledge and background. So they just kind of go into it and figure it out. So remember that, first of all, that there are so many people out there starting businesses all the time who have way less knowledge and education than you, probably way less experience, and they're just winging it and figuring it out and asking their local, government office for help and just following all the checklists. It's totally doable, okay? But here's how I want you to kind of think about all of these regulations and guidance and requirements. Think about the letter of the law and the intent behind the law, and let that inform kind of the level of risk that you're willing to take. So, for example, something that I kind of already touched upon is, what's the intent, right, with the IRS? The IRS basically, like I said, they don't want people to just be deducting all the expenses from their hobby and, you know, willy-nilly and paying less taxes without actually trying to run a legitimate business, right? The IRS doesn't want you to be able to deduct your karaoke machine and, you know, all of your gardening supplies and all of your art, you know, paintbrushes and all of that just because you're, you know, quote unquote, trying to do a business with them. You have to kind of show under their eyes that you legitimately are, your intent is to make a profit, right? So this is where the IRS is coming from. They're just wanting to make sure that you're paying all the taxes you're supposed to pay. So if you are doing some sales of your calligraphy to friends and family, to coworkers, maybe, you know, your office where you work pays you to do a sign, you sell some custom, you know, holiday ornaments. If you're just kind of doing that on the side, yes, you are supposed to be reporting your hobby income, right, according to the IRS website. But if you're not, if you're just doing some of that here and there, your intent is not to make a profit. You just kind of want to make some money to cover your, you know, hobby expenses. It's fun. You do it in your spare time. Think about whether the IRS is really going to come after you if you don't declare it a business. Probably not, right? I mean, they want you to report the income, but of course, I'm sure some people do and some people don't, right? Depending on what the income is and how much they're making. But the IRS, they're not really concerned with chasing you down for making your, you know, $200 off of your calligraphy sales here and there to friends and family, and you didn't declare yourself an official business. Probably that's not their top concern, right? So same thing, looking at the intent when it comes to your kind of local government and the requirements there. The local government, right, they're interested in keeping their citizens safe, and they're interested in collecting tax revenue, more tax revenue and sales tax, right? So your local government is, you know, they don't want people going out and doing business without a permit and without the required licenses, especially if that business is the kind of thing that might endanger people, right? Or rip people off. So if you're trying to operate like a trucking company without the proper business license and permits, like that's going to be way, way, way more of a big deal. And your local government is going to be way more concerned about that than if you are selling pieces of paper with calligraphy on it, right? Out of your home without a kind of a shop or a place of business. So it helps to kind of look at the local, right, government intent. And again, assess the risk. Like, what are the chances that I'm actually going to get in trouble for selling, you know, a few things with calligraphy on it to friends and family and kind of friends and friends of friends, and kind of assess the risk there. Other things that might come into the sort of risk evaluation, lawsuits. That gets mentioned in some kind of, like, if you Google, should I make it a business or a hobby? Lawsuits come up a lot. But really, sit back and think, as a calligrapher, what are the chances that someone is going to sue you based on what you're doing with your calligraphy? Like, so, so, so minimal, right? You create like a calligraphy artwork, you send it to someone, the likelihood of that person suing is just so small, right? Probably the worst that happens is if they're dissatisfied, you make another one and you send it to them for free. Okay, well, big deal. So all of this is to say, like, I know that the law and requirements and stuff can sound really big and scary. And this is just kind of to give you some perspective that selling some stuff with your calligraphy on it, just as a hobby, making some money to just cover your expenses of your supplies and your learning, there's probably not a ton of risk there. In fact, I just learned this and was like really surprised, but apparently in California, you're technically required to have an official seller's permit if you hold more than 2 garage sales a year. It says that on like one of the California websites. So that's the letter of the law, right? That's technically you're supposed to do that. How many people do you think are actually applying for a seller's permit to have their, like, you know, 3 times a year garage sales? Not many. I don't know the percentages, of course. I'm not, you know, I'm not in the California government, but my guess is that very few people are actually following that requirement, and because the risk is so low. Like, I doubt that the California, you know, government has the resources to go sending people out to make sure that the garage sales have the correct seller's permits. So this is all to say, I'm not telling you to go and disregard the law and like IRS requirements, not at all. I'm just trying to bring something that kind of can seem really big and unwieldy and scary and kind of try it, bring it down to perspective. If you are selling some of your calligraphy stuff and making a little bit of money with no intent to make a, you know, really turn a profit, and you're not interested in marketing and keeping business records and changing your operations so that you can make more profit and measuring your profit margin, if you're not interested in any of that, you just want to sell your calligraphy here and there on the side, maybe seasonally, maybe just to like your friends getting married, something like that, then it is possible to do that and just keep it a hobby, right? And not have to deal with kind of all the technical business requirements. So again, think about the letter of the law, the intent of the law, assess the risk, you know, kind of in real terms, what really is at stake here. And I hope that that makes it seem more doable and not so, so daunting. So to close this out, I'm going to tell you what I think is the easiest, kind of the easiest ways to go about making money with your calligraphy. if you're not interested in having a big business, if you're not interested in going full time with your calligraphy, very few people are. Very, very few people are. If you're just interested in like, oh, that'd be fun. I do this hobby. You know, I love this craft. I sell some stuff here and there. I make a little bit of extra money just to cover my expenses. Cool, right? Here's the two easiest ways to do that. Number one, just keep it as a hobby, right? And remember the IRS requirements kind of that I went through. The intent is not to make a profit. You're not really, you know, keeping tons of books and records, and you're not depending on the income, right? It's just a hobby. You're just making some sales here and there. Do keep a spreadsheet, just a simple like Google spreadsheet or Excel or whatever to track your sales and how much income you're bringing in. Cool. And, you know, report that income from your hobby as per IRS requirements, whatever your tax professional advises. And that's just like, that's the easiest way. Here's the second easiest way when it comes to kind of legal requirements and forms and all that. The second easiest way is to make it the most simple, legit business possible. And that in the US is a sole proprietorship. That's what it's called in California. It might have a slightly different name in other states, but something about a sole proprietorship. And that just means that you as an individual, you're just doing a little business, and your taxes are all being filed under you as the same individual, and your business is not a separate legal entity. It's just all you. That's why it's called a sole proprietorship, and you're reporting it all under the same taxes. Use your own name for the business name as part of the business name. So like Sheena Chang Calligraphy. And that way you have to kind of, that reduces some of the requirements for like a doing business as registration. So sole proprietorship, use your own name for your business. Use a separate credit card and a separate bank account. And that way your expenses are kept separate, your expenses and your income. And you want to track your sales and expenses with a Google spreadsheet, and you just take Venmo or PayPal for your payments. And that's kind of the simplest form to do business in, if you want to kind of make it an official business. And of course, there's so much else that goes into this, so much nuance, so many requirements in different states and municipalities and all that jazz, different tax situations, right, based on your particular, you know, individual financial and tax situation. But again, trying to break down here the kind of easiest overall way to think about this. I hope that this has been helpful. I know that there were a lot of terms in here that maybe people who were like, oh, I hadn't thought about that before, and ooh. But I promise you, when you start to think about this, right, and you can kind of keep what I've said here in mind, the overall takeaways are you can sell your calligraphy, bring in some income with it without having an official business. And takeaway number two, if you do want to make it an official business, you know, because you want to take those, deduct those expenses, right? Or if you want some of the other benefits of making it an official business, you can do that in the simplest way possible. And it doesn't have to be so overwhelmingly complex. So I hope that has shed some light on if you are a calligrapher or some sort of craftsperson or artist who does want to make a little bit of money on the side, selling or doing their craft, without necessarily making it into a really big deal of a business. Okay, there are avenues for you, and I hope this sheds a little light so you can start to explore and start to open up a sense of possibility for if you want to do this too. All right. Remember, if you want to learn calligraphy and start to open up more possibility about starting to sell it, bring in some income, maybe even make a legitimate business, please come sign up for the Newbie to Pro Calligrapher Challenge. you're going to learn how to do amazing calligraphy, and you're going to start to realize, oh my God, there's a lot of possibility here. And there's a lot of potential things that I can do with my calligraphy that are really, really exciting. And maybe that I haven't thought about before. And that's really what I want for you all, is to open up that sense of possibility and make you feel like, wow, maybe I can do this when I always thought before that I can't. So crookedcalligraphy.com/challenge. We officially start Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. Sign up now so you can get your tools all ready and we can dive in on the first day of that challenge. You're going to get really, really meaty lessons on how to actually do calligraphy, and then a lot of business wisdom to go along with it, along the lines of what you heard here in today's podcast, trying to break it down and make it easy and simple and doable. All right. Thank you all for listening. I will see you in the next Sheena Show.
Oh, you're still here. That's awesome. That means that you like the show, right? Thank you for listening to the end. And I want to ask you a really quick favor. Could you take 2 seconds right now, literally right now, to just leave a rating on this podcast? And if you're feeling extra generous, write a 1-sentence review. It really helps more people like you to find this show. You are awesome. I'll see you next time.